I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the horse said, upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve an awesome God. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the songs today have already indicated, many have given their lives on battlefronts. We honor them today, and rightly so. We would not be here if somebody hadn't gone and laid down their life, that we'd have this freedom of worship. Nobody accosted you on the way to church this morning. Nobody threatened you to come in these doors. We have freedom of worship because many have died to purchase it with their own blood. But ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of all sacrifices was made at Calvary. Thank God for Calvary, because Calvary covers it all. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Proverbs. That's God's book of wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16, as you're finding your place, I remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. And the Bible is right. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad God's preserved it for us right here on earth. Amen. This blessed book that we call the Bible, from which I will read Proverbs chapter 16, beginning at verse number 1, after we pray. And now, Father, with our hearts and minds lifted toward thee, we have no merit of our own to stand upon. We stand upon the merits of Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Again, we thank thee for those that went to distant battlefields and paid the price, made the supreme sacrifice for our worship. And again, most of all, for the hill called Calvary, where Jesus paid the sin debt that we could not pay. I pray that you would help us in the reading of the scripture and the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, I ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16. I read beginning at verse number 1. I would recommend you keep your Bible open to this place after I read, because I'll refer to each of these verses. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this passage of scripture speaks volumes about the heart of man as seen through the eyes of the Lord. The word heart is used three times, in verse 1, in verse 5, and in verse 9. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, in verse 9, we read, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro," watch this, "throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." I need not tell you this morning that man's heart is programmed to do wrong because of the innate sinful nature. The psalmist gives us his own testimony in Psalm 51:5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He adds to that in Psalm 58 in verse 3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Now, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be a child psychologist to know that you don't have to tell a little child to lie. He does it by his own nature and by listening to his mama and daddy once in a while, too. Be careful. The prophet Jeremiah addresses the condition of man's heart in 17:9, where he wrote, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Don't expect anything good to come out of an evil heart. Does fresh water come from a polluted stream? Did not Jesus say in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil? All of us go to the doctor once in a while, and he examines our ears and our throat and our nose and our feet, and then he talks about the heart, and he wants to know what's going on down in the heart. But I want to tell you, there is not a doctor on this planet that can tell us what's going on in our heart. Now, they can measure the rhythm and the beat and so forth and so on. But I know a doctor who can. His name is Jesus. And they call him the great physician. Here's his diagnosis. By the way, when you go to the great physician, you never have to have a second opinion. He said in Mark chapter 7 at verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Now, I've entitled this message, In Step with God. We have a great nation. Our nation has a lot of problems. We honor our nation. We honor our dead. But most of all, ladies and gentlemen, we need to look to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. In step with God, man can produce no good thing from himself. I give you Paul's testimony. Do you believe what Paul said? He wrote in Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing." You see, if we say that we're walking in step with God, now watch this, and we have sin in our lives, something is wrong. In 1 John chapter 2, or chapter 1 rather, at verse number 6, John wrote, "If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But," I love this, "if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Woe to the man who calls God a liar. You see, man does not grasp the truth and then come to God. Man comes to God and then he lays hold on the truth. No man, let me repeat, no man grasps the truth until the truth grasps him. Look at verse number 1 with me again. "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." My friend, you need to acknowledge today that God is, and that God is in control of your life and your destiny. It is God who gives you the ability to speak. It is God who puts the proper words in your mouth. Every one of us ought to make the prayer of the psalmist our prayer from Psalm 19 and verse 14. By the way, every Christian ought to memorize this verse. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." All good things come from God. James says in his first chapter at verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father above, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God's word was true when it was written hundreds of years ago. It's just as true today. If it was wrong to sin when the book was written, it's wrong today and always will be wrong. Sinful man pushes his chest out and thinks he can be so good within himself and pure and righteous. But let me give you the truth. Are you ready for this? This is moving. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. If you want to know what you look like in a natural state, go find the biggest, dirtiest, filthiest pile of rags that you can find. And just stand there and look at them for a minute and say, there I am. But then, turn to the cross and see what Jesus has done. There he paid your sin debt. There he washes you from all of your sin in his own blood. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 tells us, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You see, God looks on our sinful heart. He weighs our spirit. He declares us unclean, unfit, and unholy. And by the way, when God weighs your spirit, the scale is always accurate. Could I get personal for a moment? How much do you weigh on God's scales? Look at verse number 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You see, when you commit your works and your ways to the Lord, your thoughts are established for things that are good. Then, I repeat, then and only then can you expect the blessings and benedictions of God upon your life. The psalmist supports this concept in Psalm 37:5, where he wrote, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, now watch this, and he shall bring it to pass. Look at the next verse, verse number 3. Verse number 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, the wicked, for the day of evil. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God is the Creator. I believe that in cooperation with the Son and the Holy Spirit, that God made all things. In fact, John chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that Jesus made. He says that nothing was made. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And you know, when we behold the beauty of nature, did you know that the physical universe and all that's within it are the handiwork of the Almighty? Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. He who created all things, now watch this, also controls all things. His wisdom transcends our finite understanding. I ask you, who are we to question what God does and how God does it and why God does it and when God does it? I hope this doesn't deflate your ego, but God does not need you on his advisory board or his planning commission or his executive committee. By the way, God never takes a poll. He never consults the pundits. He acts according to his own good pleasure. That's what Paul wrote in Philippians 2:13. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Chapter 6 and verse 17. We have a list of seven things that God hates. You know what number one is? Pride. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And he begins the list with this, a proud look. Hear me when I say it. Not even the strongest ones among us can stand up against the holy God. We must not lift up pride against him. Every proud person will suffer punishment, the Bible says, at the hand of a just God. And no man is strong enough, listen, no man is strong enough to stand against the powerful, omnipotent God of the universe. Amen. You know what? Satan tried it and failed miserably. In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 14, we have the five I wills of Satan. Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the stars. Number two, Satan said, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will, number three, Satan said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will, number four, Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. And the fifth I will really got him in trouble. He said, I will be like the Most High God. You know what Jesus' commentary about all that is? It's found in Luke 10:18. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I wonder why I use that word lightning. Because of its speed, probably. Did you know that lightning travels 100 million feet per second? God wanted to get rid of Satan quick, so he just kicked him out and he's gone. Amen. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou shalt be brought down to hell, down to the sides of the pit. You know, there are a lot of things that Satan and his cohorts can do against God, but there's some things they cannot do. They cannot shell his temple, nor dynamite his throne. They cannot bomb his city, nor rob him of his own. They cannot take him captive, nor strike him dumb, nor blind, nor starve him to surrender, nor make him change his mind. They cannot cause him panic, nor cut off his supplies. They cannot take his kingdom, nor hurt him with their lies. Though all the world be shattered, his truth remains the same. His righteous law still potent, and God is still his name. Though we face war and struggle and feel their goad and rod, we know above confusion there will always be our God. Verse number 6 says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Could I tell you that every member of Adam's wretched, ruined race is a sinner? That's what Paul said in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man needs redemption, which is found only in Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, Acts 4:12 says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only through the mercy of God that a condemned sinner can be justified. Paul wrote in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. It is the blood of Jesus, and only the blood of Jesus, that brings eternal redemption. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. We must, ladies and gentlemen, realize that we have to be, to please God, we have to be of a forgiving spirit. By the way, do you have an enemy that you can't make peace with? Well, I recommend that you try God's way of reconciliation, summed up in one word, forgiveness. You see, when you forgive, you please God, and when you please God, you can make peace with your enemies. Verse 8 says, the wealth of the world cannot bring you happiness. Listen to what verse 8 says. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. The wealth of this world will soon perish. Jesus, who's the master teacher. Jesus, who's the possessor of heaven and earth. Jesus, who's the greatest authority that the world has ever known. Here I go quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He said in Mark 8 and verse 36 and 37, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Listen, Jesus knows the value of the world, and he knows the value of your soul, and the two values do not compare. This world, with all of its pleasures, all of its profits, all of its powers, all of its lust, and all of its luxuries, will soon pass away. That's what John said in 1 John chapter 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Verse 9. Look at verse 9 with me. "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Now, though a man can devise his way, he must have a higher power to direct his steps. And a man, listen, no person on this earth can chart a righteous course on his own, a righteous way, a righteous path. It can't be done. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, and the bottom line question is this: have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you just trusting church membership or baptism or your good works? Remember, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy. In step with God, are you earnestly contending for the faith? Are you willing to stand up and be counted for God and for your country? A number of years ago, Bob Ingersoll, a noted agnostic unbeliever, was lecturing to an audience of 5,000 people out in the state of California. In his lecture, he went on a strong tirade against Christ and the Bible, denouncing Christianity. After more than an hour of that lecture, he asked if anyone in the audience would like to come to the defense of Christ and refute what he had said. Well, the audience was deathly quiet. But that silence was broken when a 16-year-old girl stood up and started singing, "Stand up, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed." When she finished that stanza, a few people stood up and they started singing with her the second stanza. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men, now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Now this time hundreds of people were on their feet as she began the third stanza. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail thee. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. By the time she finished the third stanza, all 5,000 people were on their feet. Somebody asked, "Where's Mr. Ingersoll?" Answer came back, "He left on the second stanza. Thank God we have the victory today. We can celebrate it without apology, without hesitation, without reservation. We know that Christ is alive. We know that Christ is the Savior. We know that Christ is going to reign upon this earth." Heads are bowed, please. Perhaps you're here today and you've never trusted the Savior. I would ask you to just boldly unashamedly just step out of your seat and come and trust him today. And then while our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you, listen very carefully now. I'm not putting you on the spot. But if it's your desire and your determination to make a stand for Christ, I want you to stand quietly where you are right now. If that's your determination, your desire, your prayer is to stand for Jesus. All right. Stand up.